conversation now with my good friend, Dr. John Lott. He's been in Michigan a couple times recently testifying on gun laws and gun control measures that are completely out of step with the rest of the country, except for maybe California. And basically, John is a voice yelling in the wilderness, because oftentimes he's like one of only one or two people allowed to speak in favor of guns and self-protection. Well, they'll have, you know, a herd of people voting and talking against gun laws. John, good to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me on.
I mean, you said it. Everybody gets to talk and talk and talk, and then they bring you up. And can you limit your comments for just a couple of minutes? I mean, that happened the first time. What happened the second time?
Right. Well, I mean, it's kind of amazing. I've given a lot of testimony over the years in different places, including Michigan in the past. But in both the state Senate and the state House, they let lots of people testify in favor of the bills that the Democrats have. In the state Senate, I was one of only two people allowed to testify against it. There were lots of people who wanted to testify against it, but they wouldn't let them. And in the House Judiciary Committee, they had like 15 people testify, and I was the only one that was allowed to testify against the bill there. And there were at least as many, probably more people who wanted to testify against it. And the bizarre thing is the newspapers afterwards will say, you know, they don't even acknowledge that there are people there who wanted to testify against it. They just say, you know, only one person wanted to testify against the bill. And that's not true. It's just that the Democrats there wouldn't let anybody else testify who wanted to testify.
So they don't want to hear from anybody else. They silence everybody and they say, well, you know, if you don't like it, too bad. I mean, that's what recourse do you have?
Right. Well, and the other bizarre thing was, not only did they limit it to only me and the House Judiciary Committee, but the chair, after she went on and kind of talked for a long time, the Democratic chair, she wouldn't let all the Republicans had questions that they wanted to ask me, and she wouldn't let them ask any questions. Not even the members of the committee were allowed to ask questions.
It's mind-blowing, isn't it? Just mind-blowing. It really is.
So, but
I mean, how do you have a fair conversation if you're not allowed to speak? How do you have a chance? Because here's the thing, John. Talking to people here, Steve Doolin and other people that you know, right? Most of these laws, many of them, are going to be, for lack of a better term, shot down by the courts. I mean, it's almost inevitable because some of them are just not going to pass muster. I am almost certain, in fact, I am certain, that the Michigan legislature the Michigan voters are going to see a ballot initiative in 2024 to ban AR-15s, and that way the legislature can say, see, the people want it banned. But that doesn't make it constitutional just because it's voted on, right? You could vote to not allow, you know, middle-aged white guys to talk. That wouldn't make it legal, would it?
No, I mean, look, with all the bills that they have, the Senate's considering something like 11 gun control bills. The House has something like 20 that they have put up. You mentioned it. They have the gun control. It's for very quickly, Michigan's going to be similar to California or some of those other states in terms of the number of gun control laws that they have. You know, they have everything like these ballot boxes that you have in Michigan, which are pretty unusual in and of themselves, but they want to have a 100-foot zone around each of these ballot boxes that, it's illegal to go and carry your gun there. So you have ballot boxes at intersections. They want to make it a crime then for you to drive your car through those intersections. It's going to be, with all the ballot boxes that they're going to have for the months before the election, you know, if you have a couple elections during the year, there's going to be like 4 months or so during the year that people are essentially going to be prevented from carrying.
But it won't be consistent. I mean, one day you could be driving down Main Street, Michigan, USA, no problem. The next day, a ballot drop box appears, and suddenly you are committing, what, a felony by driving by?
Right. Yeah, no, you'd be a criminal then at that point if you ended up getting pulled over by the police. Now, hopefully that's not going to happen, but a lot of people are going to, a lot of very law-abiding, good people are going to feel uncomfortable knowing that they may be committing a crime and be, you know, possibly getting a criminal record because, you know, they didn't see that there was a ballot box there at the corner when they drove their car by it.
Unbelievable. So, all right, but the recourse is the courts. I mean, what else is there, right?
Right. Well, it's going to be a lot of litigation that's going to occur. I think what the Democrats are hoping, though, is that time is on their side. Right now, Clarence Thomas is 74 years of age. Sam Alito is 72. By the end of the next administration, Thomas is going to be 80 and Alito is going to be 78. You know, you lose one of those guys, it's very likely that the courts aren't going to, Supreme Court's not going to grant a hearing to gun control rules. You lose two of them, Democrats have control of the Supreme Court. By the end of the Biden administration, about 63% of the lower court judges are going to be Democrats. Biden's getting them confirmed at a faster rate than Trump was able to get them confirmed. And, you know, it's just that, you know, you talk about the court battles. They think that they can delay these things, you know, 5 or 6 years. And if they win the next presidential election, they'll be able to go and change the makeup of the Supreme Court.
Or just pack the court and say to hell with it. Yeah. So, I mean, the Supreme Court is incredibly important, you know. And if you're 72 or 74, you never know when health issues could crop up at any time. Right? I mean, you could have a health issue with Thomas or Alito now. It's possible. You also have a Democrat on the court who has had considerable health problems, but we'll leave that aside for now. How do we address it in Michigan or anywhere else? I mean, are they going to... The push is to disarm America. I don't think it happens because you have states... There are 25 constitutional carry states now. They're not just going to surrender their right to firearms because a group of, you know, people in Washington demand it. It won't happen. Where do we go from here? Look, we've got about a minute left.
Yeah, look, what Biden is doing is he's making it so that gun makers and gun sellers are being forced out of business. He has this zero tolerance policy where any paperwork typo, no matter how trivial, no matter how inconsequential, if they look over the last 15 years of all your paperwork, they find one typo, you lose your license.
And yet his own son can buy a gun illegally, but I digress. Keep going.
And, you know, beyond that, you look at the other rules that they're having, like this essentially reviving Operation Choke Point, where the federal government, the Biden administration's put pressure on financial institutions not to go and do business with certain types of companies, whether they be in the energy field, you know, oil and gas and coal, or whether they be in the firearms industries. You know, try running a company if your customers can't use their credit cards with you, or if you can't get a checking account yourself, or can't get the normal services that banks offer. There may be workarounds
right.
that these companies can use,
but not
but
much.
They're usually
I mean,
a lot more costly.
Yeah. Dr. John Lau, we got to leave it right there, my friend. As always, a wealth of information. Thank you.